Jay Sekulow, we call it a terror attack in Chattanooga. The president does not.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
He took the lives of four United States Marines in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And today the FBI is scouring the background of 24-year-old Kuwaiti-born American Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz, trying to figure out if he had any help with this act or any associates who may also now pose a threat to Americans.
Chattanooga is a great city with a broken heart tonight. As the U.S. attorney put it very well, it's been a tragic and long and sad day. And I think all of our hearts go out to the families of the four Marines who lost their lives.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We are conducting this as an act of domestic terrorism.
We will treat this as a terrorism investigation until it can be determined that it was not.
We don't know yet all the details. We know that what appears to be a lone gunman carried out these attacks. We've identified a name. And at this point, a full investigation is taking place.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Logan is with me here in the studio. Than is also in our studios in Washington, D.C. Jordan's on as well. And the President of the United States, while expressing his sympathies to the four U.S. Marines that were killed by what has definitely been identified as Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz, Kuwaiti-born, traveled to Jordan, traveled to Yemen. The president calls it a lone gunman carried out these attacks. Again, not using the word terrorist. Now, the Department of Justice, the FBI did say they're calling it, you notice what they said, domestic terrorism, while they're investigating this. I think we should start from the assumption that this is international terrorism, and if it becomes this, the guy was motivated by someone or something or some ideology. But this idea that we're not able to identify what this is absurd. This attack is serious, it has consequences, and the reality is, Jordan, that we've seen this before. The president, when Nadal Hassan's situation in Texas, they called it workplace violence.
Still, the president, this is an attack on a military facility, outside, you know, outside, not one inside the facility, not by a member of the armed forces, by an individual with no connection whatsoever, whose name is Mohammed Abdulaziz, who, again, has expressed these troubling writings kind of on his blog that he was writing, checked out of work 2 days before, made trips to the Middle East, long trips to the Middle East. It fits the profile, the age and everything. The FBI is saying, and those investigating saying, he wasn't even on the radar of the hundreds that they're watching in the United States who are. But again, you can see what one individual can do when they are inspired by what ISIS is telling these individuals to do. And they're speaking directly to people like Mohammed Al-Aziz, the people that fit that profile.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the ISIS said, remember, by the way, there were tweets came out from ISIS right before. So Mohammed Youssef Abdulaziz, whether he was ISIS or someone else, that's being investigated. But it cannot be coincidence that an ISIS tweet has Chattanooga in it 15 minutes before the attack. And then if that ended up being true. So they're trying to verify whether that was true. They're going through the tweets right now. A lot of this, by the way, is still information that's coming. The problem is we know what causes this. This is radicalization. I mean, you don't have to do a long-term investigation for that. You want to find out who. But go ahead. We've got a lot of comments coming. By the way, 1-800-684-3110. You got a good Periscope comment as well.
Sapphire 33 asked, again, when will the U.S. take real action and name our enemy?
This seems to be the great hesitation. I'm going to talk to Than about that when we come back from the break, because why is it that we're not just saying this is an act of terrorism? This may well be an ISIS-inspired event. ISIS, the Department of Justice, the FBI, Jim Comey said, watch out for military bases. Why were the military bases or the recruiting stations not armed? Four Marines killed and they could not carry a weapon? They could carry a weapon in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Let me break it to everybody. There's a battlefield. It's right here in the United States. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And, of course, our petition for Saeed at 877-989-2255.
Thank you. It has happened. The Obama administration is leaving Americans behind. The U.S. has signed a deal with Iran without securing the release of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been in captivity for nearly 3 years. After promising to make Pastor Saeed's release, quote, a top priority, President Obama has turned his back on this U.S. citizen and other Americans imprisoned in Iran. Now this so-called deal goes before Congress. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So here's what we do know about the Twitter situation, because there were reports, conflicting reports yesterday. It looks like the Twitter feed came out after the attacks happened. However, it has been confirmed that the Twitter feeds were actually ISIS feeds. The one tweet read, "Oh, American dog, soon you will see wonders," and included the hashtags, hashtag Chattanooga, hashtag USA, and hashtag ISIS. There's also reports that blogs that this individual, Muhammad Yusuf Abulaziz, had entered into and had written, also talked about this. Apparently, he'd been radicalized fairly recently. But this is the modus operandi of ISIS. So this is the new level of security threat that we're operating under in the United States. They're bringing it right here. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, we got a good comment on Periscope. Quite a few people are obviously chiming in, a lot of good calls.
Yep.
One person said, how long will it take the U.S. To decide if this is terrorism? And also that kind of ties into one of our calls. So let's go to Anthony, who's calling on line two from Tampa.
Hi, Anthony.
God bless you guys.
Thanks.
First of all, let me say the book Rise of ISIS is still opening eyes to people.
Thanks.
I give the book to. So God bless you for having written that book, guys. Second, this administration, in less than 8 years, has watered down national defense.
Yep.
The intelligence, and this is a ramification of that.
40,000
you get when you compromise with the enemy.
Yeah, 40,000 troop reduction right now, Jordan. I want to get fans' comment on this too. A 40,000 troop reduction in the military right now. The president, you know, is always hesitant to say what we're. This is the war on terror. I've said this before. The reason I wanted to engage it in the Middle East is I didn't want to engage it in Chattanooga. I mean, that was the reality. But, you know, the president has weakened the military, and we're feeling the consequence of that.
Yeah, exactly right. And of course, I believe that we're feeling the consequences, seeing the consequences of not recognizing who our enemy is here and using the tools we have in place in the United States. You know, I think that you draw comparisons to this and so many other bureaucratic missteps because of political correctness. These individuals are fitting a profile, an age profile, a background profile, a travel profile. Listen, any American who's spending that much time in the Middle East should at least be on some, you know, should kind of set an alarm, whether or not your name is Muhammad or not. And then top of that, you add those other facts to it. Who is the person? What do they do? What's their background? Oh, they're an MMA fighter. So they've expressed that same kind, like the Tsarnaev brother,
right,
in Boston, with the fighting and the intensity. And you put all this together, you say, this is someone that we really need to watch. And again, they weren't, and they've killed four U.S. Marines.
And that was July 8th, was when Jim Comey testified before the United States Congress. Now, the president, what time, but we'll find out what time the president actually spoke yesterday. I want to put that in context. But we've got a lot of comments. I mean, even, and this is not to make light of it, but people are recognizing the political, even in the entertainment field, are recognizing the fact that this political correctness is insane right now.
Right. We obviously know Bill Maher, who a lot of you probably loathe and love out there. And he stated yesterday, he's been a very outspoken person on religion in general, but specifically on the radicalization of Islam. He just tweeted about 14 hours ago yesterday. He put, the media keeps saying we don't know the motivation. He said, I'm sure it'll be as surprising as the name was.
Yeah, and the name Mohammed Yusuf Abulaziz does not mean every Muslim's a terrorist, but I'm calling on the Muslim community, the Islamic community, to let us know, let the American people know, let security know if somebody's radicalized in your ranks. Now, President Obama spoke at 5:20. This is what he said.
We don't know yet all the details. We know that what appears to be a lone gunman carried out these attacks. We've identified a name, and at this point, a full investigation is taking place. The FBI will be in the lead, working closely with local law enforcement.
Let me tell you something. 7 hours after the attack, we knew a lot more than the name. Okay? We knew a lot more than the name. And this is, I don't understand why we're just not calling this what it is. I understand the political correctness, but that's not an excuse. Dan, what is the reaction in Washington right now?
Well, you know, that statement, I think the reaction here, it's more than silly, Jay. It's dangerous. I mean, when something like this happens, of course all the details aren't instantly available. But when you have Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz attacking a military base, right, you have to assume—
After the head of the FBI warned, the military bases were subject to attack.
It's incumbent on the commander-in-chief to assume the obvious, to assume it's Islamic terrorism, because 99% of the time, Jay, that's exactly what it is. And for this reason, these attacks are going to keep happening, and if we continue to deny that reality, it's going to be harder to prevent them.
Let me play for you what FBI Director James Comey, someone I worked with when he worked for John Ashcroft. This is a guy that at the Justice Department. This is someone I respect and trust. Number 11, listen to what he said.
ISIL says, go kill, go kill. And here's a list of military members. You can go kill, go do it. We are stopping these things so far through tremendous hard work, the use of sources, the use of online undercovers, but it is incredibly difficult, right? I cannot see me stopping these indefinitely.
And of course, that was on July 8th or July 10th. And, you know, basically a week later, we were not able to stop it. And four U.S. Marines, fathers, sons, brothers, killed by an individual who evidently was radicalized. And if we don't think we're in a war with radical jihad, we are. And I don't think you could take this lightly at all. Let's take another phone call.
All right, Walter's calling from Washington, D.C. on line 6.
Hi, Walter. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Walter, go ahead.
Thank you for your ministry, Jay. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
And Jay, like y'all said, we need another president in there that actually go back, that can call terrorism what it is. It's not some evil person or some bad guys. These are horrible terrorists, and they're going to break this country in half. And if we don't stop them militarily our military police force or whatever, it's going to keep on happening. We got to do something.
Well, part of what we've got to do here, I mean, part of what we have to do, Walter, is name the enemy. And Jordan, the reluctancy in this administration to name the enemy has paid devastating consequences, whether it was Nedal Hassan or this situation. Now, here we don't have a former military guy. You've got a jihadist, evidently. I mean, I don't even know why I'm saying evidently. It's a jihadist. I mean, this is a guy that targeted American military. And what is his other motivation? It was very targeted. So what this political correctness is, again, the president of his narrative, he wants to stay with it.
I'm sure Success Now said it's not political correctness by the president. It's sympathizing with our enemy.
Well, Jordan, let me ask you that question here, you know, because you've worked in the Justice Department also. I mean, the president's got his narrative. It is making it easier for the enemy when you don't identify them. And there's consequences, and we're unfortunately four dead Marines is the consequence.
There are consequences. You know, we have these national conversations surrounding what happened, the horrible shooting in Charleston, and we should have those conversations. I think the debate that was had after that was important. Those are horrendous. And when they happen, they should be, of course, condemned, and no one holds back. The same should be said for this, when there's four dead Marines as well, that we should be able to, it should drive a national conversation led by the President of the United States and say that there is a real problem all over the country, and we know it's all over the world, but here right at home, of what's happening to young male Muslims specifically. I mean, I think we can focus there, and there's the Muslim community is letting way too many not recognize the radicalization. It is
or
up
turning
to
or turning their head on it,
right? Or they're looking the other way, and they're allowing these people to be radicalized, and they're not notifying authorities. And that's going to take buy-in from the Muslim community when they realize someone may have stopped showing up, or their rhetoric gets a lot more intense, and they start doing things that they didn't do before, that maybe these are signs that someone has crossed over.
One of the other aspects of this that has me concerned is, and you touched on this, is a 24-year-old from an educated family, apparently a successful family. This guy was an engineer. But they're getting radicalized, and these imams in these mosques. I want to know what's going on in there, by the way. And people say it's violating church-state separation. Well, start taking care of. This is, you know, Judy Jasser said this. His Muslim community has to engage on this, and they have to engage on this significantly. Logan, we have time for one more.
We had a good comment from Twitter. Tracy wrote, "Please pray for our community." Yep. This is from Chattanooga, the area. We're in deep mourning right now. We've lost four heroes in our community.
Yeah, let me say this. I want to encourage everybody. I posted last night on Twitter and on Facebook that our thoughts and prayers are with those that have sacrificed their life. This is no different than being killed on the battlefield. They have sacrificed their life, and their soldiers, fathers, sons, a daughter who is hanging on. We need to get the status of that Navy woman, female soldier that was seriously wounded. They said last night, paired initially that wasn't, but then it became very serious. Pray for them. And while you're praying, let's pray for the release of those Americans held hostage in Iran. I can't believe in all of this, folks, we've signed a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran. I mean, think about what we're doing to our country, what we're letting happen. Take action at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget, we're in that matching challenge campaign as well at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to be back with your calls and comments in just a moment. I can't stand to see.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It has happened. The Obama administration is leaving Americans behind. The U.S. has signed a deal with Iran without securing the release of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been in captivity for nearly 3 years. After promising to make Pastor Saeed's release, quote, a top priority, President Obama has turned his back on this U.S. citizen and other Americans imprisoned in Iran. Now this so-called deal goes before Congress. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
There is a sailor, Randall Smith, age 26, logistics specialist in the United States Navy, suffered 3 gunshot wounds during the incident in Chattanooga, underwent surgery Thursday afternoon, fighting for his life. So we want to encourage people to pray for that, the Randall Smith family as well. We're joined right now by a good friend of ours, Eric Steckelback, who has written a book, ISIS Exposed. And Eric, this unfortunately, we knew this day was coming, that we'd see more of this, and now we're seeing it.
Jay, we are. Look, I hate to say it, but this is the new normal here in the West. I'm sad to say we can expect more of this. Look, the FBI director, James Comey, said recently that in all 50 U.S. states, we have investigations ongoing into ISIS-related activity on American soil. So, Jay, what the FBI director is saying is that we have a network of ISIS supporters and sympathizers in every state in the union. So all it takes is for ISIS to release a call to action to activate these supporters. And the ultimate goal for them is to turn the U.S. and European cities into guerrilla war zones where you're having these kind of attacks like we saw yesterday on a regular basis.
Here you've got a guy that was educated in the United States, born in Kuwait, but grew up basically in the United States, from a family that appeared to be a successful family as far as finances, and he was educated, had a college degree, Mohammed Youssef Abulaziz. He gets radicalized, evidently, in very short order. And, you know, it's interesting, in the president's comments yesterday, of course, he refused to call it terrorism, although his Department of Justice did, his U.S. attorney did, but they called it domestic terrorism. But I don't think you should label it. Terrorism is terrorism right now. Whether it's domestic doesn't mean it doesn't have international influences. But Eric, the president's lack of saying this. I mean, we know what we're fighting. I mean, you wrote a book on this. I've written a book on this. We know what this is, right out of ISIS's playbook. And as you said, James Comey said it.
Yeah. I mean, Comey said it. And it's interesting because, as you said, Jay, other Obama administration officials have said it. But this is who President Obama is ideologically. You mentioned how Abulaziz, Jay, was a well-educated young guy. Look, President Obama, back in February, gave a speech where he said, look, that jihadists have, in many cases, legitimate grievances because of lack of economic opportunity and educational opportunity. Well, once again, we have a well-educated, middle-class terrorist striking out yesterday. And if you look at the ranks of ISIS, Jay, you've written a great book about them. If you look at their ranks, there are Western-educated people from affluent communities. We have medical students, business students, who have all joined this group, this movement, not because of poverty, but because of ideology. It's an ideology the president refuses to acknowledge exists.
We've got phone calls coming in. We've got questions coming in via Periscope for our team here, including Eric. Logan, what do we have next?
Sure. We got 2 good comments from Periscope. One person said, remember when the former president cared and there were actually genuine security alerts where we heard about it? That almost became a joke to a lot of people, the security alerts and all the colors. But now, of course, it's something that obviously was needed.
Right.
And then one person said, do you think that the president realizes what he's doing or he just doesn't care?
Let me go to Jordan first on that. Then I want Eric's comment on that question. A great question. And then fans. Jordan, the president, I feel the president knows what he's doing. This is a calculated narrative. That's why he doesn't call it Islamic terrorism. He thinks that's going to impact the way he's viewed in the rest of the world.
Absolutely. He doesn't want to call it Islamic terrorism. He doesn't even like using the term terrorism, especially when it's an attack that's happened here at home. But it is part of his mindset, and I think part of his bigger foreign policy and his approach to dealing with this, which has been so failed, and because of that, the broader public fails to recognize. Everybody's worried about political correctness around these attacks instead of getting to the how do we stop future attacks like this? How do we find these individuals before they carry out these attacks?
Let me go to Than, then we go to Eric for the same comment. Than, your reaction to that?
Well, I thought Eric said it well, actually, when he said this is who President Obama is ideologically. And so, therefore, Jay, it's what he does. I mean, some people call it a foreign policy of appeasement. Some call it political correctness. But whatever it is, it's willful ignorance that's costing American lives.
So, Eric, you made a great statement, and there was a good question that came in via Periscope. So what should be the plan here? I mean, you're a terrorism expert. What's the response here? What would be the right response?
Number one, this is what we should do, Jay. It's not going to happen before 2016. It almost sounds simplistic, but what we need to do, quite frankly, is smash ISIS militarily in Syria and Iraq. That's a first step. You don't need a heavy U.S. ground footprint to do that. It's a straw man when the president suggests that. Think back to 2001 in Afghanistan, special forces, CIA on the ground, working with the Northern Alliance. They routed the Taliban. We can do the same thing today with the Kurds and others in Iraq. ISIS is not an 800-pound gorilla. We can smash them. And if you do that, you put a dent in the ideology and you weaken the global movement.
I was in a program in Oxford dealing with this, presented some papers, and the tutor of the program, or the Oxford professor, said, crush them, which is absolutely correct in my view. Let's take another phone call while we've got Eric on the phone here. Who do we have next, Logan?
Sure, we have Leonard calling from on line 4 from Washington.
Hey, Leonard.
Yeah, I've got a question for you guys.
Sure.
How could a naturalized U.S. citizen from Kuwait come in here to do some damage? I mean, it's very, while President Obama is hollowing out the military.
Well, you know, one of the things ISIS is talked about, and I know Eric talks about it in his book, ISIS Exposed. I've talked about it in ours, Rise of ISIS, as well. And Eric, and that is, this is the idea of having a U.S. citizen, that, you know, came in through Kuwait, naturalized, go then at some point goes to Jordan and Yemen, at least, and then comes back. This is part of the modus operandi of ISIS.
Seen this time and time again, even before ISIS, Jay, even, you know, with Al-Qaeda sympathizers a few years ago, they go to the hotspots, Somalia, Yemen, the tribal regions of Pakistan. Now, today, it is Syria and Iraq. They go there, they train, they're battle-tested, they're battle-hardened, and then they return. And when they return, their U.S. citizens can move around the country freely. All bets are off. When you're fresh off slicing heads in Syria, you're probably not going to get a job at McDonald's when you return to the United States. You're going to bring the jihad here.
So that's what's happening. Hey, Eric, let's see if you can. I'm going to ask Will to talk to you, see if we can get you to stay over in the next segment. We've got a couple of Periscope's comments coming in, and Will's going to talk to you right now. Go ahead, Logan.
That's right. Just kind of wrap up this segment. One person just commented on Periscope, the longer we take to smash them, the more it seems like it will spread domestically.
Yeah. And, Jordan, your concern has been from the outset that we had to react very quickly to this.
That's absolutely right, that this is something we have to react to now. We have to handle this problem now, and it's something, you know, unfortunately, waiting to the who will be the next president, you know, we just can't allow that. We've got to push this conversation.
All right, we're going to continue to do that. And, Logan, you had one more comment from Periscope you want to get to when we come back.
Sure, let's get to it when we get back. We only got a minute left. If you have a comment on Periscope, they're flooding in right now. Get them to me now.
Folks, Eric Steckelback's going to stay with us. He's got a great book out called ISIS Exposed, and it's called ISIS Exposed. It's available everywhere. I encourage you to get it. We're going to take more of your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Don't forget we are pushing also for rejecting the deal with – can you believe we've signed a deal with Iran in the middle of all this? We have. 800-684-3110 and talk to us on air. But if you want to sign that petition for Saeed's release and the release of the other Americans, if you haven't done so already, 169,000 have. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign here at the ACLJ. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we're getting a matching gift for. So we're doing great for the month. We want to continue that momentum. We could have a record here, actually. ACLJ.org. And you need to follow us on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, on Facebook, and also with Periscope. Logan, let's let everybody know on Periscope right now. Get your friends engaged in the conversation. It's growing every day, but there's a way you can get your friends involved very quickly.
That's right. If you're not on Periscope, grab the app. If not, swipe over and click share with all your friends and invite your followers.
We'll be back with more in a moment.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast. By the way, I'm checking out the legal status of the situation when it comes to the whole idea about not having these men and women in the military on these bases or recruiting stations not armed. I think it was a law that was passed in maybe during President H.W. Bush's term, but I think there was an exception if the assets were at risk, and clearly here the assets are at risk. Eric Stackelback's joining us again. Let's take a phone call, and we'll get some comments on this. Let's go ahead.
All right, let's take a call. Let's go to Phil, who's calling on line 2.
Hi, Phil.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm an Army retiree.
Thank you for your service.
I'm 63 years old, and most of my adult life I have legally carried.
Yep.
But, I mean, I went through whatever had to be done to go and get certified and actually have a legal. But all the time on military bases, I could not because of the stipulations in there. Now, it could be locked in the glove box of my car.
But you could not carry it on the base. Yeah, I'm having the law checked right now because this, in my view, let me go to Jordan first on this, is absurd. Our military bases are targets for ISIS. Jordan?
Absolutely right. I mean, we know that these terror groups have said, how can you, to inflict targets and where they want to, quote, inspire people to carry out attacks. They look for soft targets where they're not going to meet a lot of resistance, and they can carry out maximum damage, even if it's just one individual with a high-powered rifle or gun. And they can then really cause a real terror attack. Basically, yep. I mean, it's just, and then you've got, like here now, ISIS able to be responsible ultimately, and there's likely the scenario here, yep, for 4 dead U.S. Marines that they inspired the killing of, that they are pushing to recruit people to carry out these attacks.
So, Eric, and you're an expert again. By the way, Eric Stackelback's book is called ISIS Exposed, and you need to get it. I want to encourage everybody that's listening to this broadcast to get it. The military bases are clearly a target, and military personnel are clearly a target for ISIS, and it looks like it was a Department of Defense directive that had they couldn't carry weapons on the bases, but these are like battlegrounds. This to me is inconceivable that we cannot get our directives to match the battle that we're actually in.
Yeah, Jay, Jordan broke it down beautifully. Look, take it back to 2009. All the alarm bells were there. In May 2009, we had a similar incident. We had an Islamic terrorist who had trained with al-Qaeda in Yemen, went to a military recruiting center in Little Rock, Arkansas, and killed a U.S. soldier. This happened before, 6 years ago, on American soil. Of course, we had Fort Hood as well. So there's a track record here, as Jordan laid out, of not only ISIS making the threats, it's clear that they want to attack U.S. military targets, but we've actually had it in real time on U.S. soil already. This law should have been changed years ago. Yesterday should not have happened.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Than, quickly, what is the your reaction, or what's Washington's reaction on that aspect? We're looking at that directive right now, but what's your sense?
Listen, it's a DOD directive. That means it flows down from the Secretary of Defense, who is governed and directed by the President of the United States. That directive hasn't changed because the Commander-in-Chief doesn't want it to change.
Yeah, well, we are going to get on that, and it may be something we have to get on next week on this to get some movement. We're less than a minute here, Than. Anybody on Capitol talking about that this needs to change now? Anybody taking the lead yet?
There's actually a behind closed doors hearing taking place right now. It's not publicly available, but I'm told this is one of the topics of conversation.
Let's keep your ear to the ground on that. Let's find out, folks. We have more of your phone calls when we come back. More of the comments coming in via Twitter and at Jay Sekulow and Periscope as well. So our team is going to be here. Don't forget ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. And by the way, you can also call in your pledge at 1-877-989-2255. Eric Stackelback's great new book, ISIS Exposed. Get it. Understand the issue. Pray for Randall Smith, 26-year-old logistics specialist in the United States Navy. Suffered 3 gunshot wounds during the attack. Hanging on for life. Pray for Randall Smith and his family. Back with more in a moment.
It has happened. The Obama administration is leaving Americans behind. The U.S. has signed a deal with Iran without securing the release of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been in captivity for nearly 3 years. After promising to make Pastor Saeed's release, quote, a top priority, President Obama has turned his back on this U.S. citizen and other Americans imprisoned in Iran. Now this so-called deal goes before Congress. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We got Eric Stackelback, who's agreed to stay with us, which I appreciate. We're looking at this DOD, Department of Defense directive right now, which is the reason why these men and women that serve in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they have weapons, but they're not having it on the military bases, which have been subject to attack. Let's take a phone call to start the conversation here. Sometimes we get calls that disagree. We've got one right now.
Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Tennessee on line 3.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, it would have helped to have weapons at the office there in Chattanooga.
Why would it not help?
Because the individual fired from the parking lot.
Somebody had a weapon. You don't think they could fire from the recruiting center into that car and stop it? Or how about...
They would have been firing into a parking lot, an unknown vehicle with other civilians in the area.
Hold it. Let's back up. Let's back up here. Let's see what you're saying. You're not saying, I don't think, that you think that recruiting stations should never have armed personnel there, are you?
I don't think it would help.
Well, let me ask you a question. What if the guy would have walked in and done it? Would it help then?
I don't think so.
Well, that's Bill. Now, that's ridiculous. First of all, if the military personnel, you would rather have our men and women on bases and at recruiting stations unarmed when they're being attacked and killed.
Not unarmed on bases. The directive states that people, it clarifies who can carry a firearm on the base.
And actually, we're looking at that right now because I think we may have an area of agreement here. I think that there's an overread on this directive, because that's absurd. Yeah, let's take the military base off it for a second because I think you and I are probably in agreement there. I think the directive doesn't actually say, because I think there's an exception if there's assets of the Defense Department at risk. And clearly, we know that's the case. So we're actually, Joseph Williams is in the studio working on that right now. But Bill, I want to tell you why I disagree with you on this recruiting center thing. This is not the first time it's been the target. So I want to get other comments on there. I want you to stay on the line here, Bill. I'm going to go to Jordan first and then to Eric. We've had a history, Jordan, of these kind of attacks at recruiting centers. These are ISIS-type inspired attacks.
That's right, and these men and women are trained to use arms if they have to, and certainly there could be directives put in place about, you know, if an incident like this occurs. Obviously, just like police go through, you don't go start shooting into crowded spaces and using common sense and training. But under this analysis, you wouldn't have police officers with guns either in the United States because, well, and you can't solve everything. They can't stop every violent crime, and two, there may be other people around. Well, I mean, they carry guns for a reason. It also sends a signal that if you try something right now, you will be dead very soon. and it sends that signal to everyone that it's not a soft target anymore.
Yeah, and I'm going to get a comment from Eric on it, but we had an interesting comment come in via, and this is true. Was this via Periscope, Logan? Go ahead.
That's right. Cheryl Miller put, if you've been to Israel or ever been to Israel before, in the old city of Jerusalem, or really anywhere in Israel, you see them with guns. You see everyone with guns, and you know, in a positive way.
Yeah, because they're used there as defense. Yeah. So, Eric, I'm looking at the DOD defense directive that Bill brought up, and it says this: to limit and control the carrying of firearms by DOD military and civilian personnel. So they want it limited. The authorization to carry firearms shall be issued only to qualified personnel, in other words, people that are trained, when there is a reasonable expectation that life or DOD assets will be jeopardized if firearms are not carried. Is it fair to say, Eric Steckelback, expert on terrorism, that DOD assets and life of these soldiers are being jeopardized?
Yes, on a regular basis, Jay. We've had these successful attacks that we've discussed, including yesterday, but we've had several plots, Islamic terror plots against U.S. military targets here in the U.S., installations, etc. Think back to Fort Dix in 2006.
Right.
Again and again over the past decade, even before the rise of ISIS. Look, people need to understand that the U.S. military is at the very top of the jihadist hit list. They see the U.S. military as the tip of the crusader spear against the Muslim world. We've slaughtered Muslim women and children. We've invaded and raped Muslim lands. And the U.S. military is the tip of the spear of all of that. That's how they see the U.S. military. They despise the American military, everything it stands for. So U.S. military assets and law enforcement will continue to be top targets.
Bill, let me we've actually gone through the directive here. So I think where you and I agree is on the military basis, there is no doubt that if you believe DOD assets are at risk, they can. I think this is just an overread by the Department of Defense coming through the president, I'm sure. That, Bill, you agree that needs to change, correct?
Wait. No, you can't say the president doesn't want. No, you said the president does not want people to be armed. He wants, that's wrong.
No. I'm saying that can be changed by the president by clarifying the directive.
Earlier, someone said he doesn't want them to be safe and be armed. That's
what you know. No,
here.
Bill, you know what you're trying. I'm asking you. I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation with you on this. I'm looking at the directive. The directive doesn't say that the personnel can't be armed. If DOD assets are at stake and personnel are at stake, they can be armed. That's what the directive says.
In this case, they were not this particular facility was not at risk.
Well, evidently, it was at risk because it was the front windows were shot open, and we were fortunate that no one was killed. Somebody was injured. Nobody was killed. And let me just finish it with this. I can't imagine that you really believe that if an intruder came into that recruiting center, that you would not think that it would be appropriate for military men and women trained in firearms to be able to engage the enemy if they were inside their facility, including the training, the recruiting center. You think they should be unarmed and not be able to use a weapon if the guy was inside?
I'm not paranoid like you are.
Not paranoid. There are 4 dead Marines and injured people in Chattanooga. Your time is done. And Eric, I want to say this to you. I appreciate the reason and rationale that you have brought to this discussion, and also your book on this, on ISIS. And this is what we're, but this caller was exactly what we're having to fight. The idea that people have not woken up to the fact that we are having a battlefield in the United States of America.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. It's here. The barbarians are not just at the gates, they are inside the gates for sure.
Eric has got a book out on ISIS that I think everybody that is concerned about this topic, and our phone lines are jammed, so I know people are. It's called ISIS Exposed. It's available in bookstores everywhere. Thank you, Eric, for coming on, and get the book, folks. We really encourage you to read it, and I appreciate Eric's comments on this. Jordan, we just heard the last caller. This is not dealing in reality.
No, it's not dealing in reality, and so I think that that goes to the fact that we try to act as if, well, these facilities aren't all at risk. This is exactly what they want. If we continue in this mindset of it's not a problem with all Muslims and it's not a problem that the Islamic community's got to deal with, if we keep saying, well, you know, these are one-off incidents, then they will happen again and again and again, because this was a successful terror attack. 4 Marines killed, another in serious condition at a hospital, and yes, the shooter gets killed ultimately, but that's that they carried out their mission.
You know, we're looking at these additional DOD directives that are coming in, and some of them were reissued in 2011. And we really got to get into this issue, and we're going to put together a plan for that you could bring to Congress, because there's a lot of confusion in these directives, and I think there's an overread going on here, and Americans' lives are at stake.
Well, especially where it comes to those exemptions that you're talking about, yep. those exceptions. What I would actually like to see, whether it's statutorily, Jay, or through a directive that yep. comes down from the President of the United States, I think the commanding officer on those bases should make these determinations. They know how to keep themselves safe. Yep. And you know what? If a commanding officer thinks that his people should be armed, they should be armed.
Yeah, I think that could be a very good solution to this. Let's try to take another call before the break
quickly,
here.
Quickly, Doyce is calling from Illinois on line 6.
Hi, Doyce.
Hello, Jay. How are you today?
Good. Doyce,
hello?
Okay, we're on the air, you're on.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Good, Jay, how are you doing today?
Good.
I just want to point out the fact that the administration that we have in place today is not looking to let us protect ourselves. They think that they can protect us, and all they want to do is get the guns out of the hands of the maniacs that have them, with exception, unless you're from Iran, you can have ballistic missiles.
Well, I mean, he's letting Iran protect themselves with this. I keep saying that. I mean, this idea that we've signed a deal with Iran, you look at the situation. What are we? The world's largest sponsor of terrorism, and we're giving them weapon money. This is absurd. Logan, do we have any comments coming in from Periscope? I know we had a lot of people on.
Yes, one person put that ISIS knows we are not a threat to them like Iran knows, so yep. they know we are weak.
So, Jordan, we got a minute left here about the fact is that we are projecting weakness, and we are really starting domestically to pay the consequences of this.
Absolutely right. I mean, this is we see these attacks. They're happening in places that you would not imagine, and that's exactly what ISIS wants. That's how they create terrorism, this idea that you are not safe. It doesn't matter if you live in Washington, D.C. or Chattanooga, Tennessee.
We are also getting a lot of phone calls. We're going to get to those calls in the next segment of the broadcast. I can't believe the broadcast. We only have one segment left. 1-800-684-3110 is our number if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. Are we staying up on Periscope, Logan?
We'll stay up for the rest of the show.
All right, we're going to stay up on Periscope, so get your comments in via Periscope. We want to know where you're contacting us from. And if you got a question you want to ask via Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. Again, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Email's coming out on that matching challenge today. Respond to it. Help us. We get a matching gift for any amount you donate, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Again, ACLJ.org. I encourage you also to call and support the work of the ACLJ via 877-989 or 2255 or ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Like our Facebook pages, folks. Jay Sekulow's ACLJs. And follow us on Twitter. Back with more in a moment. My heart is crying.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It has happened. The Obama administration is leaving Americans behind. The U.S. has signed a deal with Iran without securing the release of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been in captivity for nearly 3 years. After promising to make Pastor Saeed's release, quote, a top priority, President Obama has turned his back on this U.S. citizen and other Americans imprisoned in Iran. Now this so-called deal goes before Congress. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Is the number 800-684-3110. Logan's with me in the studio. Joseph Williams, our staff, is in the studio as well. Fans in Washington, D.C. Jordan's on the air as well. We've got a lot of people that have been holding for a long time, so we're going to try to do a rapid fire round here.
Right. We've just had a lot of calls and a lot of news breaking, a lot of things happening. So sorry we've kept a lot of you on hold for a while, but let's go to Brooks, who's calling on line one from California.
Brooks, I want to apologize for keeping you on hold so long, but we've had a lot going on. Go ahead, Brooks.
Thanks, Jay, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is dealing with the Iran nuclear deal
that's
in Congress's lap right now.
Yep.
Two-part question. Do you think it's possible that the Obama administration could be using the hostage situation in Iran with the four Americans being held as a bargaining tool to put pressure on Congress to pass the Iran nuclear deal? In other words, if it becomes clear to the administration that Congress does, in fact, have the two-thirds majority in both the House and Senate to deny this nuclear deal, do you think Obama then will use as a tactic,
well,
oh, by the way, I just negotiated the release
so,
of the four Americans?
I mean, then the United States has made them political pawns, and Jordan Than, that would be so awful. They should have been released, but this would, I mean, and you bring up a great question, Brooks, but it would be disastrous, I think.
And this is what I've been picking up on from commentary from Democrats, members of the president's own party, who are weary of this Iranian nuclear deal, but have said, you know, if the Americans were to be returned home, well, that would have a serious impact on my vote. So I think the White House, though, they're publicly saying, you know, they're not worried about this veto override. Privately and behind the scenes, I think that they are trying to do everything they can to build a firewall against a veto override. And so because of that, sure, these Americans have now become very important. And I think that's unfortunate, as we said, because it puts them right in the middle of the nuclear deal.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead. Let's take another call.
Another man. He's calling from California on line four.
Hi, Manny.
Hello, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Well, Jay, how much longer are we going to I mean, that's necessary for us to see what side of our president is. If you remember when he swore into office, the fundamental change is taking place. He's not going by the Constitution, Jay's going by Sharia law.
Well, I've said he's gone. I won't say he's going by Sharia law. I said, Manny, that he's certainly doing extra constitutional activities with these executive orders. But look, the president had a plan, and he's executing it. I mean, look, you know, I'm going to say what I've said for 6 years. Guess what, America? Elections have consequences, Than.
Yeah, it's his foreign policy appeasement. He told us he was going to do it. He's going to do it. And the latest example is when he came out and said Iran does not have to fundamentally transform in order for us to be partners. Yes, they do, but they didn't.
Do we have any more comments coming in via Periscope? I mean, we've got a lot of people that have been on from Periscope.
Yeah, a lot of people. One person said the U.S. military should be able to carry arms wherever they go. They're at the top of our protective services.
I'm going to ask Joseph this. Joseph Williams, let's get his microphone up here because we've been going through the DOD. I've had Joseph going through the DOD directive. It's been around since 1992, but in 2011, it was significantly more restrictive on what the military can and cannot do. This is a cursory view, folks. We've just started looking at it. Is that correct? What is the assessment right now?
Yes. So in 1992, the directive was issued. In 2011, an undersecretary of defense under President Obama's administration reissued the directive and restricted the policy somewhat, pretty significantly, in fact, because it said that while DOD components still have discretion arming DOD personnel, it must be limited to missions or threats and the immediate need to protect DOD assets or persons.
And you're not getting Jordan. You get no advance notice here with these Islamic terrorists. They're not, you know, they're not. And so this came out, by the way, after Nadal Hassan. I mean, you realize this? When was Nadal Hassan? 2009. Yeah, this came out after Nadal Hassan, the Department of Defense under President Obama, restricted our military capabilities.
And this is when you look towards common sense. It's common sense about who is this threat posed by. It's common sense about who is how we should be protecting ourselves and allowed to protect ourselves, whether that's at a military base or other facilities and locations that may be seen as soft targets. But, you know, a lot of private companies, big companies, corporate companies, they have people with guns.
Right.
You know, they have security officers for these kinds of reasons, to deal with problems, to deal with possible crime, to protect their employees, to protect people on the inside. And there's a reason why they have those security companies.
Well, you're absolutely correct, except we're not letting our own military do it. Let's take another phone call.
Catherine's calling from New Jersey on line 5. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Jay. May God be with you all.
Thanks.
Obama is playing down Muslims and the Sharia law. He has said, we are not at war with the Muslims. We are not at war with Sharia law.
Yeah, well, of course, the problem is a number of them are at war with us. Can we play the beginning of President Obama's statement? Do we have that audio where he says, I just received a briefing from the FBI director? Do we not have that? Was that just a written statement? I'm sorry. Okay, well, then we'll go ahead. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Sure. Fred's calling on line 2 from Washington.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Tom, okay?
Good.
Hey, I just had a quick comment, quick thought. I listened to you all day yesterday talking about Pastor Abedini. I was under the impression that the United States didn't negotiate with terrorists, and I'm pretty sure him being imprisoned over there, he's not eating, you know, cake and watch.
Well, the president's changed that policy. They're now, believe me, they're negotiating with the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, period.
Sorry about that, Fred. Let's move on to Aaron, who's calling from Minnesota. Last call of the day.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm calling for two reasons. One, I want to ask, why isn't anybody bringing up Fort Hood?
We are.
That was an act of terrorism. I haven't heard anybody bring it up in the program.
I have mentioned it 4 times today. Because this is exactly, you're exactly correct. And what I'm concerned about now, we just had Joseph Williams check this, is that the DOD directive was changed and restricted after the Fort Hood incident, which, Jordan, leads me to believe that they were not, it's like they're completely clueless onto what the tactics of the enemy are.
Exactly right. They don't want to recognize that we face a threat from radical Islam here in the United States, and it's Muslims who may have American citizenship. A lot of times they have traveled to these countries where the radicals are. In this case, looks like Jordan and Yemen. But ultimately, they use their passports, they use their citizenship to ultimately inflict damage and to carry out these attacks. And unfortunately, a successful attack in Chattanooga yesterday.
And Than, let's talk about quickly what you expect. You said there's meetings going on as we speak on this.
Yeah, classified briefings behind closed door. I think this question about whether or not to arm the military and who should make that decision, I think that's where that's going to center in the days to come, because, you know, we've got to protect the personnel who are defending us when we send them overseas. They're trained to have these arms, Jay.
All right, we've got one Periscope, another one.
But we treat our enemies as allies, and our allies seem to be treated as our enemies.
She's exactly correct. And isn't that super unfortunate? Unbelievably unfortunate. We treat our allies as enemies and our enemies as allies. The president said a new dawn of the relationship between the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran. I guess not. Folks, that's going to do it for the week. And we've got our special broadcast, of course, on this weekend on a number of stations. Listen there. ACLJ.org. This is a weekend going into our matching challenge. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be getting an email alert about our matching challenge campaign. Sponsor us on that. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Have a good weekend.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and demand that Congress reject this flawed deal. There can be no deal with Pastor Saeed and the other Americans still imprisoned in Iran. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.